All right, let's kick off the news in my Vince McMahon voice. Why? I have zero idea. But it was the United Center, Austin. It was the United Center all along. Yeah, we knew it was the United Center all along, everybody. In fact, most of those journalists out there knew. But, you know, you've come to realize that using logic, using common sense, doing research, understanding big business, the legalities, contracts, legal issues, that is boring. That requires work. It is not sexy. Everybody and their mother now, it's about getting any type of reaction, views, hits, likes. And then when we get it wrong, we could simply just divert the attention to another big issue. You know, what happened to the billion-dollar TV deal that everybody said was breaking at the upfronts? This was front-page major news for 2 weeks, and then they shifted to CM Punk. And by the way, I want to let you all know right now, it's not being reported yet. I got this straight from someone who actually has given me a little bit of info, not because I'm just going to break news on the shows, but because he appreciates that we tell it like it is over here. You know, it was partly CM Punk's idea for him not to be announced tonight on AEW Dynamite. And the reason why is because they got a big pay-per-view coming up in a couple of days. And there are a lot of people wrestling on that pay-per-view. And CM Punk felt that, look, you got a pay-per-view. There's been big build. You got wrestlers that have important matches. You know, leave the focus on them. You know, we could worry about my announcement and, you know, me being at the first collision after Double or Nothing is in the books. Hell, maybe something is announced at Double or Nothing. I don't know. But all I know is that CM Punk was part of the reason why the call was not made tonight to announce his return. They did announce tonight, Tony Khan did announce that AEW Collision's debut show will in fact be at the United Center in Chicago. Now, I know that there are a lot of reports out there about horrible ticket sales and pre-sales for Collision tapings. And I want to tell you firsthand, I have talked to a few people that tune into the shows that live in Canada that want to go to Collision. And when I asked a few of them, why have you not bought tickets? And some of them said, because, you know, we want to know a little clarity if CM Punk's going to be on it. We want to see who's going to be advertised. We're not going to just buy something blind simply because they're coming to our area. And that's kind of smart. There's a lot of fans out there. They want to know what they're paying for. They want to know who's showing up. You know, they don't want, with all due respect, they don't want, you know, to find out later that Sky Blue is taking on Julie Hart and Thunder Rosa is not ready for a return. You know, they want to know. You know, once you start presenting who's actually going to be wrestling and who they're going to be wrestling, that will spark the ticket sales. I also want to bring up something else right up front. Tony Khan, you know, he's got lawyers on top of lawyers. It's not just Mega simply because you read her name online. CM Punk has attorneys. You know, you're talking about TV networks that are involved in hundreds of millions of dollars with AEW. Money that is currently on the table, money that will be announced in the near future, they're not going to deal with, they're not going to deal that kind of money with amateurs, with people that they don't have confidence in that are going to do business and do it right. All right. The idea that legal papers were sent to CM Punk, almost like a gun to his head, that if he doesn't appear, they're going to go after him legally, and that's why he agreed to read. That's, friends, it's nonsense. Okay. The reports that Raj Giri posted that CM Punk was sent papers this week, that is 100% true. He actually is reporting the truth, and he's right more times than not. What other people did is try to assume what was on those papers. And I'm telling you right here, right now, that those papers that were sent to CM Punk were amendments to his contract. One of the biggest reasons being is because a couple of years ago when he signed, AEW Collision was not even an embryo as of yet. So there are more things happening now. There is merchandise, there's revenue, there's royalties, there's other things involved that they had to, you know, update his contract. Not only that, they did add some additional clauses, you know, as far as not talking about this and not, you know, going a certain way. And that is standard. Yeah, CM Punk, you might have to add a couple of extra lines that you may not normally do for someone else. But whether CM Punk was signing brand new at AEW or they're amending his contract or they're extending it or for whatever reason, those legal papers are sent out to him. So even if there was never this all-out fight, media scrum and bullshit and this and that, they still would have had to have sent him papers. It was not a negative thing, but everybody online turns every little thing to negatives. That's why it really started rubbing me the wrong way to see that people that are anti-Punk, you know, hide behind and, you know, listen, I called out Brian Alvarez last week. It's possible that this could happen. It's very possible that this could happen. It's quite possible that this could happen. You know, fuck you. You're like, you know, you put the drama out there. Anything is possible. But instead of getting the answers or maybe just shutting the fuck up and actually reporting the news instead of creating news, because he knows, and he's not the only person. There are a lot of journalists out there know that all these cut and paste sites all hang on every word that they say. And a lot of these cut and paste websites are free. A lot of these other journalists that actually put the stories out there, they charge money. They're behind paywalls. And that's why I always defend Fightful lately. If you really pay close attention, whether you like the journalists there or not, if you pay very close attention, it's not just what that they have said, it's what they have not said. And they never brought up certain aspects of this TV deal with the upfronts or certain aspects with CM Punk and Ace Steel and others. It's just that when you read a mess from all different areas, especially if you follow only one website, and they just take pieces from all different areas and they present it to you, you think you're reading one story, and you can't figure out who said this and who said what. That's why, unfortunately, in this day and age, you know, do anything you could possibly do and say that sounds like it makes sense just to make sure you get the hits, the reaction, the subscription, the views, and this and that. And, you know, hey, it doesn't make my job that I do here any harder. You know, I just go to the beat of my own drum and try to give you straight up news. You know, we'll address rumors, but I try to iron everything out and clear shit up. And the United Center announcement was never in doubt. You think that AEW is just going to call buildings up that they're buddy-buddy with and say, hey, can you hold this date just in case this person doesn't show up? They just announced Collision with Warner Brothers Discovery. You think that Tony Khan kept quiet and didn't tell them about the problems with CM Punk? And again, when Warner Brothers Discovery says that CM Punk is not affiliated with Collision, yeah, neither is Thunder Rosa and neither are FTR, neither are Hobbs. They are wrestlers, performers for a TV show. You know, it was Warner Brothers Discovery being very, very cute with their words. And it's just like that Vince McMahon story that I brought up a couple of weeks ago. Remember the story where Endeavor, you know, put that clause in there that Vince, you know, cannot be removed unless he dies or he quits or he's incapacitated. You know, people thought, oh my God, look at Vince with this power grab. No, that's a standard clause in contracts, in corporations, you know, that have executive chairmen. It's just that you understand you're dealing with people online. In some cases, that never graduated high school. You're dealing with people online that their biggest employment outside of writing for a news site is working at McDonald's. And unfortunately for a lot of these people, it wastes time. To them, it's wasting time to getting the truth. They'd rather just throw it out there. And if they're wrong, oh, Vince changed the script. Oh, they worked things out. Oh, you know, this. And yeah, it's ridiculous. So, you know, sometimes it's a little boring to report accurate news, but I ain't going the clickbait route. The bottom line is that Collision has officially been announced for Chicago. CM Punk will be revealed as appearing there very, very soon. Right now we have AEW Double or Nothing this weekend. So I want to welcome everyone to Wednesday Night Dynamite. It is May 24th, 2023. I am Don Tony, and in this episode, we will do predictions for Double or Nothing. We will do predictions for NXT Battleground. We will also do them for Impact Wrestling Under Siege, talk a little bit about the shows. And, you know, I'm definitely going to get into Sabu in a moment because I started getting DMs like crazy about something involving Sabu appearing on Dynamite tonight. And I have the answers. And believe me, if I'll just tell you this right up the up front. If some of you out there were looking at Sabu tonight and saying, wow, he's awfully fucking short. There's actually a medical reason behind a little bit of his loss in height. Sabu has definitely gotten shorter. Not midget size, but we'll explain in a little bit. I also got to get into a couple of funny things. You know, I watched NXT last night, and we saw the mystery attacker attack Roxanne Perez. And this person has attacked several NXT women, baby faces. And we still don't know who it is. And a lot of you have been fascinated by my idea from about 6 weeks ago that it could be Mandy Rose's return. Last night when I watched it, I started thinking about somebody else. And I'm going to throw it out there right now. And I'm going to tell you part of the reason why. And when I tell you, you're going to think it's ridiculous. And it probably is ridiculous, but you know what? You know, we used the same mentality with Ava Rain back in the day, and we nailed it. We were the only people that thought that Ava Rain was the one debuting for the Schism. She was going to be the newest member. You know, sometimes you just got to look at the visual of a person and try to narrow it down. And the woman that attacked Roxanne Perez yesterday, if you look closely, this woman is pretty short. You also looked at her physique. Her frame is a little on the petite side. Something else that I noticed is her feet. And, you know, and the reason why I took note of her feet was because her ankles were exposed. You know, the whole other the rest of the body was covered with, you know, hoodie and gloves and this and that, but her ankles were exposed. And, you know, I noticed Mandy Rose, I believe, has tattoos right around her ankle area. And you didn't see that much skin, but I didn't see any signs of tattoos. And then I started thinking to myself, who would be like a really interesting surprise to bring into NXT that we haven't seen for a while that could maybe use the Mandy Rose bump that Mandy got a little over a year ago? And it started hitting me, and we're probably wrong. But, you know, the fun thing about, you know, talking about wrestling is, you know, there's nothing wrong with fantasizing or predicting or throwing ideas out there. Sometimes your ideas are 10 times better than what the actual promotions do. I have gotten so many great ideas from some of you guys out there. I say to myself, wow, you know, their ideas are 10 times better than what I'm seeing on WWE television or AEW. I thought to myself, how would you all feel if it's revealed to be Alexa Bliss? The funny thing is that when I saw this person attack yesterday, you know, whoever it is very, very in shape and athletic and small. But I noticed the feet, and the feet were small. Now, if you're not aware of this, you might want to do a Google image search. A couple of years ago, you know, there was a weird thing going around on Twitter, and a bunch of guys were posting nothing but photos of Alexa Bliss's feet. And it was not that long ago that somebody that follows my page was really into Mandy Rose's feet. And I remember looking at her feet, and I'm like, she got some big feet. This girl yesterday that attacked Roxanne Perez has petite feet. And I looked on Google Image, and I'm looking at the Alexa Bliss foot photos, and I'm like, you know, this girl, whoever this is, reveals going to be, is somebody really, really small in frame. And Alexa Bliss is doing next to nothing right now in WWE. She was supposed to return already, and people thought that she was returning with Bray Wyatt. That was never news. That was never factual. I mean, it could end up being that, but that was based on people's guesses, hopes, assumptions, wants, not facts. You know, there's a big difference there. And especially since they have not brought back Alexa Bliss, why not bring in NXT? I think she would be great in NXT right now. And there's no shame. There is no shame. And I got news for you. You look at Alexa Bliss next to the NXT women's roster, and you look at Alexa Bliss next to the main roster right now, there are quite a number of women on the main roster that, truthfully, we feel she, how is she going to possibly overtake them on the food chain? You can't simply just start writing on social media, oh, I've been here for all these years and I deserve better and this and that. And then you have people with the hashtag give Alexa a chance and this and that. You know, you can't just keep doing that. So from looking at the size of the girl yesterday, I think it fits Alexa Bliss. Go look it up. I think at the end of the day that it will be Alexa Bliss? I have no idea. But the idea that it could be somebody that is not a household name like Blair Davenport or others, I just don't see it. I really don't see it because, you know, this is a storyline that has trickled into the WWE universe, not just fans who watch NXT. And it's become intriguing amongst casual wrestling fans. And I think that reveal has got to be a stronger name. So we'll see what happens. You know, something else. I had a lot of people emailing me last night about the Tony D'Angelo segment, which was pretty funny. If you missed NXT yesterday, Tony D'Angelo gets arrested. He's in an interrogation room, and apparently there's footage of him, I don't know, maybe beating up somebody. And apparently there's a mole, there's a rat, there's an informant that is leaking this stuff to the, you know, the authorities, supposedly. So, you know, Tony D'Angelo with some horrible acting. You know, is that you? Hey, it don't look like me. It's grainy. I'm telling you, that ain't me. Are we almost done here? I got to go take my mother to the grocery store. The segment was so cheesy and awful. But what was funny about it is, you know, if you want to, you know, split hairs here, you know, Tony D'Angelo's in the interrogation room. And they're asking him a bunch of questions. They're showing him footage. And after all the questions, they tell him, stand up. What do you mean stand up? You got the right to remain silent. You know, what'd I do? And they start, and I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. In the legal world, I mean, if you're going to do a storyline like that, like do a little research. You're supposed to be read your rights in the interrogation room before you answer anything. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, we will, but you know, I mean, they read him no rights. And then when they arrested him after the interrogation, they're like, do you have the right to remain? It was just really, really dumb segment, man. I don't know what the fuck they're doing with the D'Angelo family storyline, but man, it's just, I know it's NXT, and I always say, you know, the indies, you can't take it, you know, too seriously. I mean, it's professional indie. It's their minor league for WWE. It doesn't mean that the writing has to be that cheesy, man. The writing yesterday was pretty goofy, especially for that segment on that level. Congratulations to Brian Cage and Melissa Santos. They're expecting their second child, which is pretty freaking cool. And happy six-year anniversary to Vic Joseph. He now makes 6 years signed with WWE. Awesome. Let everybody know, and yeah, we'll have some fun with it. The AEW Fight Forever video game now has an official on sale date. Now, we got to have a little fun with this. Last week, it was revealed online that the game was going on sale Tuesday, June 27th. And as I told you all last week, that the source of that June 27th date was some gaming website, I think in France. And all the research that I did had nothing to say June 27th. So last week on one of the shows, I came up with this idea.
Fight Forever. There's a rumored on sale date, June
27th. Fightful put that out there. I will tell you that the origin that came from was an international video game website that has where you could pre-order the game and it will be shipped out June 27th. There's nothing else online to back up the June 27th date. Personally, that is a Tuesday. And if I was AEW, I would have the video game go on sale either on a Wednesday or on a Thursday. You announce it that the game will be on sale tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a clip from last week's show. Well, guess what, friends? The game's on sale date is actually Thursday, June 29th, 2023. Yeah, I mean, look, again, common sense. Why would you put the game on sale a day before Dynamite, where you could turn around and have Tony Khan as a major announcement regarding Fight Forever, and he comes out, the game is going to go on sale tomorrow. You know, like, Tony Khan announces everything. You know, you saw this a mile away. It's not that hard. But, you know, the game's coming out June 29th, which is not that long. And, you know, I'm excited for everyone out there that is really, really into the wrestling video games. For me, you know, unfortunately, I'm not into video games like I used to. I know one day down the line, I'll get back into the video games and it'll fuck up my shows because I'll play a game for way too long. And like my wife will be like, honey, aren't you supposed to be like podcasting now or something like that? Yeah. So Fight Forever, June 29th. Mark it on your calendars. All right. Tonight, an AEW Dynamite, Sabu made an appearance. And yeah, it's random. It's absolutely random. Anybody that follows me knows my love for Sabu, so you're not going to hear me shitting on him, but I definitely want to address something that everybody was talking about almost immediately when he came out. Not just, why is he going to be in the corner of Adam Cole? Well, that's because Bobby Fish is not there, and there ain't no lie there. And unfortunately, Kyle O'Reilly is not medically able to as well, not that I'm aware of. He's still out of action with the neck. So they needed somebody, and they decided to go with a little bit of nostalgia. And Sabu can still do a little bit. I mean, obviously he's up there in age, but so this Sunday at AEW Double or Nothing, Chris Jericho and Adam Cole will be battling in an unsanctioned match. And Roderick Strong and Sabu will be in the corner of Adam Cole. And that is supposed to negate the fact that the Jericho Appreciation Society will be on the opposite corner. So, yeah, you still got 5-3, but Sammy Guevara will not be out there because of his title match. So it's really 4-3. But the thing that got everybody's attention tonight is that Sabu looked awfully short. And yes, Sabu is a little bit on the shorter side, but not as short as people think. Now, if you do a Google search, you will find that Sabu and Adam Cole are the same height, 6 foot. But if you go one step further, and if you go back to Dynamite tonight, you saw Sabu standing next to Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong looked like he had about 3 inches over Sabu. Do you know that technically online, Roderick Strong is 2 inches shorter than Sabu? But if you saw it tonight, Sabu looked very, very short. All right, maybe 5'9". I don't think that's out of the question. Now, here's the deal. I don't want to spend too much time on this. If it fascinates you, you could do a little bit of research. You know, if you want to tell others about it, that's fine. If you want to let them know that I told you this, that's cool as well. Two things with Sabu that is causing him to appear to be shorter. He is shorter than what he used to be. He has had a lot of hip problems. And there is a medical condition when you have osteoporosis of the hip, you can get 2 to 3 inches shorter in size. So his hip problems have definitely led to him losing some height. Not only that, with his spinal issues, there is fluid that is in your spine, and as you get older and you age, you lose some of that fluid, and that actually could cut an inch off of your height. If you've ever been around any of maybe like your older relatives and you're standing next to someone and you say to yourself, wow, you know, I don't remember my grandmother being this short or my grandfather. Have you ever come across like any, even wrestlers? I mean, people look at Hulk Hogan now and they think, wow, Hulk Hogan is a lot shorter than what I always thought that he was. Well, number one, you might see him not wearing wrestling boots, but number two, yeah, he actually has lost about an inch or two as he's gotten older. Sabu, with his medical issues, that is why if you're looking at the pictures and you're like, wow, he looks awfully fucking short. Yeah, it is a legit thing. You know, so, you know, it's nice to see Sabu. You know, it's amazing what some hair dye will do as well. I mean, let's be honest. He dyed the beard. He looks great, man. I mean, he's up there in age. You'll probably be surprised in the next 24 to 48 hours how many people online that never heard of Sabu. I know that sounds nuts to think, but yeah, I mean, Sabu, hey, I don't mind a little nostalgia. Yeah, it doesn't really make that much sense as far as him being the corner of Adam Cole, but it's fucking nostalgia. It's not that big of a deal. You know, Sabu threw a chair tonight into the head of Matt Menard, looked fine. You know, the guy is probably going to, you know that he's going to put somebody through a table on Sunday. Why not? I don't have any issues. You know, he didn't look embarrassing out there. I got news for you. And I'm not just saying this because I was always a Sabu fan. If you watch Sabu walking down that rampway, he actually was walking pretty good. You know, so I'm hoping that maybe some of his pain from previous issues with his hip and his spine have actually gotten better. Surgery will improve it, you know, to an extent. So I hope he's feeling better. Just got to be careful. You got to be careful at his age, especially what he's put his body through. So nice to see him out there today. Also, for those that are fans of Aussie Open, you know, tonight Orange Cassidy opened up AEW Dynamite, which he has done quite a bit over the last year or so. He defeated Kyle Fletcher to retain the International Championship. After the match was over, it was revealed by Tony Khan online that they have officially assigned Aussie Open, Kyle Fletcher and Mark Davis, to a contract. So they actually will be sticking around with AEW for the foreseeable future, which, you know, and believe me when I tell you, you know, they're not household names yet, but they are extremely talented. You know, the reports today that, you know, both WWE and AEW were interested in Aussie Open, that is true, but it's, the media handled it similar like they did with Jay White. You know, like WWE had some interest in Jay White as well. But when, you know, Tony Khan made him an offer, he couldn't refuse. And once the deal was done, that's when the news reports put out there, oh, WWE and AEW are interested in Jay White. And then a day later, oh, Jay White signs with AEW. So the timing was intentional, everyone. But that's a good grab. And hey, with now the 2-hour collision show coming to Saturdays, you know, there definitely is not, that's not a bad idea to have Aussie Open on one of these shows. You know, the big question is, you know, do you put them on Dynamite or do you put them on Collision? Are they better to feud with FTR or are they better to feud with the Young Bucks? You know, so you got to start looking at it like that. And remember, there is no roster split. I hate when people use that term for AEW because most of the time when you think about that and you think about how CM Punk is segregated to Collision, it sounds awfully negative and it sounds like he's not welcome to appear in a Dynamite. I guarantee you all, I guarantee you CM Punk will appear on Dynamites. I guarantee you that CM Punk's name will be mentioned on Dynamite. They're not good, especially if ratings are subpar on Saturday nights. We have no idea what numbers are going to be drawn. People have been asking me for the last week, you know, what do you think the ratings are going to be? What do you think the ratings are going to be? I mean, my gut feeling tells me 600,000 to 700,000. That might be a decent number. as far as TNT goes. But if you start getting into the fours and the fives, you know, they may feel, you know, we might have to shake up the show a little bit. But the you know, this narrative right now that CM Punk is segregated to Saturday nights, and, you know, people who support CM Punk will be on Saturday also, and the people that don't support CM Punk will be on Wednesday. You know, it just, that sounds like real, like, I don't want to call it the indies, but it sounds almost, you know, unprofessional. Like, you're dealing with, you know, big business here. And, you know, yes, wrestlers have had fights in the past. There's some legendary ones that have happened, and wrestlers still worked for the same company. You know, things have been ironed out. It's just that the people involved, the parties involved, from Ace Steel to Kenny Omega to Chris Jericho to CM Punk to Tony Khan to whoever, they are not going to call you up and tell you every little detail. You don't think CM Punk hasn't talked to AEW about 50 times over the last year? You don't think that there's emails addressed and exchanged every other day? There is a boatload of content. It's just that because you're not aware of it, the narrative, the idea is that, oh, nobody's on speaking terms. No, you know, Thunder Rosa, oh, no. And then you find out later on, you know, this all this stuff about Thunder Rosa in the locker room that you never heard of before. Because it's really none of our business when you think about it. It really isn't. So I hate using the term roster split, and I hate using the term segregated. It's just two touring groups. It's two touring groups. They're going to tape Ring of Honor and Collision on Saturdays. You know, Collision will be live. Ring of Honor will be taped, you know, for future shows. And Dynamite will be Wednesday, and Rampage will be Wednesday. And it's going to be two different areas. When Collision's in Canada, Dynamite might be in Texas. So it's two different touring groups. And, you know, just, it's, we're never going to know all the facts. And we're probably not going to ever know a lot of the facts because of the amount of money involved, because of, you know, this, the business and the legal side of it. You know, we could guess, we could fantasize, we could speculate. The problem is that unfortunately you got too many bullshit journalists out there that talk as if they know it as fact. And a lot of people will take it as fact, because especially if you're a third-rate website or a journalist or a podcast with no connections and no sources whatsoever, you'll just talk about what everybody else says. And you don't give a shit if it's true or not, because you could just turn around and say, well, Meltzer reported this and Meltzer got it wrong. I didn't get it wrong. I was just talking about what Meltzer said. You know, your job is to try to get the answers. So getting back to Dynamite tonight, Ricky Starks. This sucked. Let's be honest. Ricky Starks, first of all, he's not getting a rematch against Jay White at Double or Nothing. He's cutting a promo with Renee Young. He calls himself a hothead. He lost control, but he was in control. And he has nothing to lose now. And he'll be in the Battle Royal for the International Championship. But then here comes Juice Robinson and Jay White. They lay him out, throw him into a trunk, which looked pretty stiff. But then Juice Robinson, actually, no, it was Jay White with a very weak chair shot. Not Hogan level as far as chair shots go, but it was a very weak chair shot. Was not impressed with that segment at all. Speaking of not impressed, you know, Jungle Boy's promo. I hated that one too. He's sitting there and he's like, oh, you know, I'm thinking about all the times I was driving up and down the roads in Las Vegas. And every time I drove, things were a little different. But one thing that is not different is the way I feel when I'm in the ring. It sounded like a bad deodorant commercial. You know, every time I drive up and down the road, things are a little bit different. But when I hit the ring, it's not different. It's what I dream about. It was not good. And I really laughed at what MJF said later on about the other three pillars. I think when he talked about Sammy Guevara, he said he wants Sammy to stick that tongue in a light socket. He wants Darby Allin to climb Mount Everest with his shoes untied. And he wants Jungle Boy to be thrown into an echo chamber so he could speak and bore himself to death. I mean, and you know what's funny? You know, I did see the comments that Jungle Boy made about his promo ability. And, you know, he brushed it off like, look, I'm never going to be as good as others and this and that, but, you know, I don't want to, like, bore the fans for 30 minutes and this and that. That's why MJF made the bore comment. It's response to, you know, the comment that Jungle Boy made last week in an interview. But, you know, why not get better? I mean, there's been wrestlers over the years that back in the day would suck cutting promos. And then, you know, years later, you're like, holy shit, this person is great on the mic. I remember back in the day, AJ Styles, for some reason, I just never thought he could cut a good promo. Brock Lesnar, back in the day, really couldn't cut that great of a promo. Now he spits bars and, you know, he's fucking looks like he's having the time of his life. So anyway, FTR comes out there. They cut a promo. And for the first time in a very, very long time, TNA is name dropped. And Cash gets on the mic and says that Jeff Jarrett has outsmarted them. And you've been very, very lucky, but at Double or Nothing, your luck runs out. Dax gets on the mic and takes the Eddie Graham line, says that Jeff has broken 1,000 guitars to try to stay relevant. But then they take the TNA jab. And Dax says, if you think the tag champs are going to be a couple of TNA rejects, think again. You better call the Queen in the Mountain and make sure you got some job suit security. Oh, no, I'm not talking about your bitch of a wife, Karen Jarrett. I'm talking about Dixie Carter. So, you know, the crowd's like, ooh. So Mark Briscoe comes out. And listen, Mark Briscoe, I know his character. I've seen the Briscoes for 20 years. You know, having this naive brain dead mentality, you know, I just, after a while, it gets a little goofy. So in storyline, how does Mark Briscoe still not know that, you know, Dax's eyes were blinded and he didn't realize that it was Mark that he was pile driving. So anyway, FTR, you know, gets into Mark Briscoe's face and said, 3 times we went to hell and back with you and your brother. This time we'll go to hell with you. Mark then looks at Dax. He's like, what was that with the pile driver? And, you know, as I'm watching, I'm saying like, oh, come on. You know, this storyline purposes, you know, well, you watch the replay, you know what happened. Dax apologizes, wants Mark to shake his hand. Instead, Mark slaps him. Felt forced, felt stupid. I guess they tried to cover it up because when Jarrett Singh, Sonjay Dutt, and Jay Lethal came out, Mark Briscoe slapped Dutt. He slapped Jeff Jarrett. So I guess that was the cover. He's slapping everybody. But he looks at Jay Lethal. He does not slap him. And he says, you're my boy, but I'm getting tired of this bullshit. And he walks off. Sammy Guevara proclaims that no one could buy him, not even Max. Then he says something else that just was stupid. He was offered more money in the past from prior bosses if he grew up. I invite you to go watch it again. Sammy Guevara is basically saying that, you know, he's an immature person and people that he worked for in the past offered him more money if he would just grow up. And apparently that is like a negative thing. It's... If you look at even Darby Allin's promo, Darby Allin, out of all of them, is the one I want to see take on MJF. But even when you dissect what Darby Allin says a little bit, it's kind of stupid too, because Darby Allin basically admits that Tony Khan is the only moron that's going to let him, you know, climb Mount Everest, dive off his house, crash a car into 1,000 pieces. You know, like, he of course, other companies wouldn't allow you to do that. Because they have an investment in you. And I understand, you know, why they're saying what they're saying, but when you actually start thinking about it, you're like, you know, hey, actually, no, that does make sense. And just because you can work for someone that lets you do things that you shouldn't be doing doesn't make it good or right. You know, for our entertainment pleasure, we're fine with it. But they're trying to play it off like common sense makes no sense, if you understand what I'm saying. The House of Black defeat Grand Metalik, AR Fox, and Blake Christian. I don't know why they fucked with the lighting, this time around. Last week, they dimmed the lights. I didn't hear about any incidents with, you know, like fans doing anything stupid with the lights out. This time around, I don't know. I looked up and I see like strips of light, blue like flashes. And I'm like, what the fuck did you do? And then like I'm focused on the light and I'm like, oh, I see like rows of empty chairs. And I'm like, what was the purpose of doing that lighting? I don't know if you all enjoyed that lighting. I thought it was horrible. And the match was good, but of course we know the outcome. House of Black retained their trios titles. All three guys had moves on their opponents. Brody King had a Blake Christian in a sleeper. Malakai Black had a knee bar on Grand Metalik. And Buddy Matthews had a Texas Cloverleaf on AR Fox. And AR Fox technically was the one that tapped out. Blackpool Combat Club cutting a promo in the back. Moxley, I don't know if you heard the line, everybody, but he actually said, we're the best in the world. And I don't just say that because it sounds cool. So little shot at CM Punk. Don't worry. Don't worry. You know, they're not going into business for themselves. But I will say this, that backstage promo with Bryan Danielson and Moxley doing all the talking, probably my favorite promo that they have cut since they've been as the Blackpool Combat Club. Moxley was serious, but good serious. He put over the fans too. He put over why they do what they do. And yeah, I know it's a twisted mentality, but it sounded like it made so much sense. And that promo was excellent. MJF comes out, takes shots at the three other pillars, like I said earlier. He takes shots at the crowd. He says, look around the arena. We should change this town from Sin City to Virgin Vegas. He does put over, after the insults, all the pillars, including himself, as the best of AEW. But he is getting bored and sick of the AEW fans not giving him the respect he deserves. He reminds everyone that his contract is coming up in 2024. And he reminds everyone that, like, much like the rest of the roster, none of them are on the level of the devil. I don't know if they put that on a shirt yet, but I remember saying that like a month ago. That's something that should be on a shirt right now. You're not on the level of the devil. So, I will tell you this. Darby comes out and confronts MJF, and that's when he cut his promo about, you know, like other people, I listened to them and I was cleaning toilets and I'm working for an employer now that, you know, a boss that lets me do what I want to do, blah, blah, blah. And he says he's going to climb Mount Everest next year. But MJF kicks him in the nuts. Sammy Guevara comes out, tries to make the save. MJF gets on a dodge. When MJF walks up the rampway, here comes Jungle Boy, who clotheslines him, knocks him on his ass. If you look at the side view of Jack Perry when he picked up the AEW championship, it's going to be fucking scary how much he will look like his father, Luke Perry, God rest his soul, when he cuts his hair. If you look at that side shot when he picked up that championship belt tonight, you will say to yourself, holy shit, when he cuts his hair short, he's going to look exactly like Luke Perry. It's scary. It's scary. I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm not saying it is a creepy thing. I mean, it's just, listen, Brian Pillman Jr., you know, people always, you know, they looked at him and they're like, yeah, he does look like his dad, Brian, but he's not a splitting image. You know, he's got some of his look, but it's not a splitting image. I think Brian Pillman Jr. has a lot of his mother's look, you know, in his face, which is not a negative thing. Wardlow and Arn Anderson cutting a promo about Sunday. Taya Valkyrie defeating Lady Frost in a decent match. You did have Jade Cargill up the rampway scouting the match with Mark Sterling and Layla Gray. We get the contract signing with Chris Jericho and Adam Cole. And Adam Cole, you know, they're not allowed to touch each other tonight. Adam Cole says AEW should be thankful this is an unsanctioned match. And it's taking all of me right now not to dive over this table and beat the shit out of you within an inch of your life, Chris Jericho. He tells Jericho, Sunday we're going to find out if you could walk because I'm going to break your legs. Sunday we're going to find out if you could talk because I'm going to shatter your jaw. And Sunday we're going to find out if you could write because I'm going to break your hand. So hurry up and sign this contract, bitch. that proceeds to sign it, bitch, sign it, bitch. And Jericho goes to the crowd and says, I ain't no bitch, not for Las Vegas. Jericho shows the footage from Pittsburgh when Saraya was caning the shit out of Britt Baker. Jericho says, what kind of a man allows the love of his life to get the shit knocked out of their loved one like that? He calls Adam Cole a coward, signs the contract. Then they talk about Sunday, how the Jericho Appreciation Society, they could have their whole group on one side, and Adam Cole has Roderick Strong. So Adam Cole reveals that he's got reinforcements. Sabu comes out there, and as I said earlier, he throws a chair in the face of Matt Menard. Jericho Appreciation Society gets out of Dodge, and that's what we have looking forward to on Sunday. That immediately leads into Roderick Strong beating Daniel Garcia tonight. We see footage of Willow winning the New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Women's Championship over Mercedes Moné, unfortunately due to Mercedes' injury. The main event, Lucha Bros retaining the Ring of Honor tag titles over Claudio and Wheeler Yuta. I mean, we knew the match was set up so Yuta could eat the pin. The Young Bucks did get involved towards the end of the match, holding Claudio's legs from getting back in the ring. That allowed the Lucha Bros to hit their finisher on Wheeler Yuta. I got a kick out of something that Bryan Danielson said during the match. He was on commentary. But, you know, it's a phrase. And I've heard the phrase before, but I was just imagining people who were stoned to, like, think about it. And Bryan Danielson, just in passing, says that the Blackpool Combat Club aspires to get 1% better every day. They aspire to get 1% better every day. Now, that might not sound like a lot to you, but, you know, on the surface, if I said to you all right now, if you got better, 1% better each day, would you be 100% better in 100 days from now? And the answer is no. You actually would be much better than that. So if you actually want to piss off somebody, if you have any friends that you smoke with and they're stoned, hit them with that question. And they'll be like, dude, in 100 days, I'll be 100% better. In 365 days, I'll be 365% better. Oh, dude, in 1,000 days, I'll be 1,000%. It actually is a much higher percentage than that. Because as the number goes up, when you're like 150% of what you were before, that means the next 1% would be 1.5%. Some people could stay up with me with the math. So anyway, as we go off the air, Moxley is cutting a promo talking about how crazy this match is going to be Sunday. If blood makes you feel uneasy, you know, you have no idea what you're in store for on Sunday. It's going to be crazy, 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 crazy shit. And again, this is one of the cool things why CM Punk, as a gesture, and listen, AEW does what they want regardless, but it's nice to hear, you know, from somebody who does work in the company, who I talk to, in a low position, I might add, but word going around is that CM Punk had suggested that they hold off on announcing him returning until after Double or Nothing. So the focus could be just on the pay-per-view. And I think that's a nice little gesture. Because believe me, the media out there, they needed the CM Punk announcement tonight. And I guarantee you there's going to be some morons out there that are going to still keep it vague. You know, they know that everything's been ironed out. It's been ironed out for a while. When Chris Jericho told everyone to go out and touch grass, you know, I mean, shit's been resolved for a while. You know, when they had the meeting in Florida with Jericho, that pretty much was handshake, everything is cool in the gang. Now we draft up, you know, updates for this and updates for that. Lawyers look at it, sign off on it, get it notarized, send it back. Everything is cool. Let's get some business going. That's it. This is not something that was decided within days. And that's a ridiculous narrative. This is not Saudi Arabia buying WWE. You know, if you go back and you think about the logic behind that, how people would think that the deal could be done in 2-3 days. You can't even, like, get shit done that quickly on eBay. So, all right, very quickly, AEW Double or Nothing this Sunday. We got 9 matches announced. Absolutely, I expect them to add some additional matches during Rampage. I ain't waiting until Friday. to do predictions, because by then the majority of you would have, you know, would have seen Double or Nothing already, and there'd be no reason to do predictions here. So I'm going to give you some quick predictions, and we'll see how it goes. Jamie Hayter defending the AEW Women's Championship against Toni Storm. Jamie Hayter, a lot of people feel, even though she's had that title for a little while now, has just touched the surface as champion. This feud with the Outcast, I think some people are starting to feel that it's getting old. I see Jamie Hayter retaining that championship. I hope that we could start moving away from the Outcasts, you know, and Britt Baker and Hikaru Shida and Jamie Hayter. We need to start, you know, mixing it up a little bit more. I mean, I understand the situation with Jade Cargill, but, you know, it is pretty glaring that Jade Cargill never interacts with any of those women. You know, just take a step back and think about that aspect of it. Nobody wants to talk about it publicly because they know the deal. They know that at the end of the day, you put Jade Cargill in the ring with a lot of those women, it would could possibly turn into Goldberg versus Steve Regal. If anybody have seen that match, Steven Regal, William Regal versus Goldberg, back in the WCW days, you know exactly what I'm getting at. Wardlow defending the TNT Championship versus Christian Cage in a ladder match. I know everybody feels it should be Luchasaurus versus Wardlow. It will be. I think the only reason why they're having a match with Christian Cage is just to milk time. You know, they want Wardlow to be surrounded with Christian Cage and Luchasaurus for more than 3 weeks. So the idea of putting Christian in the ladder match instead of Luchasaurus allows Wardlow to get a victory against Christian Cage. Christian loses no momentum. He's still Hall of Famer legend, you know, insane on the mic, still great in the ring. And then that allows a couple extra weeks to be added on so he can have a match with Luchasaurus. Probably won't be on pay-per-view. Could be. But that's why this match is going down the way it is. I mean, we could see some fuckery where Luchasaurus walks up the ladder and grabs the title. But I think Wardlow is going to retain. Absolutely. In fact, the only thing negative about this card, I can't figure out a title change. I cannot figure out a title change. Orange Cassidy will be defending the International Championship in a 21-man blackjack battle royale. Problem is, we only know of four or five people announced for the match. Powerhouse Hobbs, QT Marshall, Aaron Solo, Ricky Starks, Orange Cassidy. I'm sure Jay White and Juice Robinson will be in it, but we'll probably get a surprise. And it's very hard to predict a winner when you don't know who the surprise is going to be. Shit, it'd be pretty fucking funny if they put CM Punk in that match. I'm not saying that he's going to be in it, but my point, you save him for Collision, obviously. The Collision debut. You do not show him on TV before then, you know, live in the ring. But as of right now, I say Orange Cassidy retains. The guy has had the best run of any champion, probably in recent memory, in AEW, which does span almost 5 years now, you know, 4 years. And that's because, you know, Tony Khan is, he is committed to putting him on TV almost every week, giving him solid matches, enough time, you know, and winning all these matches. You know, it is scripted, everybody. You know, Tony Khan has total control who looks like a champion, who looks like shit, who has a great run, and who doesn't. Why would you scrap Orange Cassidy as champion right now? I mean, I don't see Orange Cassidy feuding against MJF in any time soon. But then again, we could get a major surprise that could end up winning it. But I'm going to go with Orange Cassidy to retain. Jade Cargill versus Taya Valkyrie for the TBS Championship. She's 60-0, Jade Cargill. I've been saying this for a little while now. I'm going to be wrong. I'm absolutely going to be wrong. But I don't care if I'm wrong. I'm going to go with Taya Valkyrie to win the TBS Championship. Do you know why? Because of what I've been saying for about a month and a half, 2 months now. Jade Cargill needs to happen to her what happened to Austin Theory. And I'm sorry for repeating something I've said 100 times over the last 9 months, but it's true. you know, that briefcase was hindering Austin Theory. You know, having the prop and focusing on the prop, especially when the prop makes people annoyed more than anything else. You know, it's not a good prop to have for a long period of time, especially when you're a heel. Carmella was a perfect example of that when she had that briefcase for as long as she did. I always felt him getting rid of that briefcase would allow Austin Theory to stop being Austin Theory. When he lost the briefcase that night, everybody on the online was ripping the crap out of WWE for what a disaster. How could you do that? I thought it was the greatest thing that could have happened to Austin Theory. And I'm very proud to be on record for saying it that night. Thank God. Take the briefcase off him. Good, good. They should have stripped him. Now we could focus straight up on Austin Theory. Look at where he's at now. I feel the same way about Jay Cargill. Being 60-0 is great. Where she is now compared to 2 years ago is tremendous. She has definitely gotten better. Maybe her progress is a little slower than what people anticipated. That's fine. She's still extremely young. She has a whole career ahead of her. I don't mind her taking a little bit longer. But those 60 wins, like I said, it's like me playing Miss Pac-Man. And I say, hey, look, everybody, I'm up to the key. I've been playing for 45 minutes, and then you realize that, you know, I finagled the game, so I got 7 lives, and I'm playing on, you know, brain-dead mode. You know, you got, like, difficult mode, arcade mode, easy mode, and then you have life support mode that, you know, it's so easy that you don't even have to look at the screen and you'll pass it. Jay Cargill has worked hard. She's trained hard. But her winning streak, her wins, it's to the point now where a lot of people are not taking it seriously. Like the opponents that she gets many times, and it's they feel bad for her opponents. They're not bad, but you know her matches. You put her against an established veteran like Taya Valkyrie, and you see the disaster that happens as a result. Again, it's almost like Goldberg meets Steven Regal. I think Jay Cargill losing that TBS championship allows her to branch out, get into feuds and fights with people, and she could lose once in a while and get screwed out of a victory, and they don't have to worry about a title changing hands as a result. She is so hindered right now with that championship, and I know there's a lot of people that disagree with me about that, but that's the only reason why I'm going with Taya Valkyrie to win this championship, because I think it's time. Jay Cargill had 60 wins, undefeated, beautiful way to start a career. All right, now we need to take it to the next level, and you do that by taking the championship off of her. That's my honest opinion. I'm going with Taya Valkyrie. Ethan Page and the Guns versus the Hardy Party of Isaiah Cassidy, Matt, and Jeff Hardy. If the Hardy Party wins, Matt Hardy will own Ethan Page's contract. I'm going with the Hardy Party. Just for the creative, funny skits that will proceed. And I like that they use social media to have some fun with the storylines. So I think you keep that going. I mean, because, yeah, there's a lot of you out there that feel that the Hardys should get one more run as a tag champs. And I agree. But that ain't in the cards right now. So, yeah, let the storyline continue. Let Matt Hardy own Ethan Page's contract. Blackpool Combat Club, Brian Danielson, John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta versus the Elite of Kenny Omega, Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, and Hangman Adam Page. Anarchy in the arena. No sign of Don Callis tonight. Well, not a factor. Don Callis expected to play a role Sunday. Will Don Callis bleed once again? It's going to be crazy. I don't even want to predict the level of violence, because you know they're going to pull shit out besides the barbed wire, besides the chairs, besides the tables, besides the usual props, the glass. You know, hopefully we'll see some Legos, but they're going to do things that we're not even going to expect. For me, I personally think, you know, my gut wants to say the Elite comes out on top. But the Blackpool Combat Club, you know, outside of Wheeler Yuta, I still am not sold on Wheeler Yuta. Sorry, that's just the way I feel. You know, he kind of reminds me of like Maven and Evolution. I know Wheeler Yuta is better than that, but still, I just, I think it was just Brian Danielson, John Moxley, and Claudio. It would have been those three to me. I think it would just, I don't know, just my feelings on it. I feel like the Elite needs the victory, the revenge over what Don Callis did. But man, is that awfully soon to do that. You have, you know, all in, you know, not too long away, you know, not too far away from now. And we know the rumored match, the Elite versus CM Punk and FTR. The Elite would have to be heels by then. I mean, they have to be heels. Think of the storyline. You're not going to paint FTR and CM Punk as heels in that. And you're not going to have baby faces versus baby faces because CM Punk on the mic is going to shoot, quote unquote, is going to say things that people are going to, you know, going to be like, holy shit, did he actually say that? But it's going to be part of the storyline. So I almost feel like the Blackpool Combat Club gets this win. I could see the Elite getting their revenge, but man, that would be awfully soon. You want to know something, though? Hangman Page, Snake Plissken being back. Nah, you know what? I'm going to change it. I'm going to go with the Elite. Let them get this win. They get a little bit of acknowledgement from the Blackpool Combat Club, and then we could start moving on, switching the Elite. And, you know, does Kenny Omega ultimately return back with Don Callis? I don't know. But I feel by the time we get to Wembley, the Elite have to be heels. So, all right, I'm going to go with the Elite only because Hangman Adam Page is part of this match, and I feel like Hangman Adam Page needs a substantial win. You know, it just, I don't know. It just feels like the last 9 months, it doesn't necessarily feel wasted for Hangman Page, but it certainly feels like more should have happened. Doesn't it feel like that? More should have happened for Hangman Page over the last 9 months. FTR defending the AEW tag titles against Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, Mark Briscoe, special guest referee. As much as Jeff Jarrett is helping behind the scenes and largely responsible for a lot of the venues that they're getting, and even more of a reason why that's not how you do business with buildings, and Jeff Jarrett is hands-on, perfect example of that. He knows what you do and what you don't do. You know, Jeff Jarrett handling a lot of the behind the scenes is even more of a reason why some of the stuff being reported about Daly's place and other places is just asinine. Still, you do not take those tag titles off of FTR. FTR should have had a much more profitable 2022 under the AEW banner. They did fine in New Japan, they did fine for AAA, and they did fine for Ring of Honor, but AEW was a joke. And we were one of the only shows that kept exposing the truth about FTR under the AEW banner last year. They've done decent for 2023 so far. We're in the month of May, and they definitely need some strong momentum going into the summer months. I'm going with FTR to retain. I think in the end, Mark Briscoe may have to lay out Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal may end up taking a shot at Mark Briscoe. I mean, look, they are extremely close in real life, but on camera, they are two totally different characters. I'm going with FTR to retain. That leaves us two matches, everybody. Adam Cole versus Chris Jericho, unsanctioned match. Jericho absolutely does not need this win. Jericho has lost more matches than you realize over the last year. I mean, the one that probably everybody remembers more than anything is Action Andretti. And I know some people say right now, hey, whatever happened to that guy? But I think Adam Cole, even if he's not going to face MJF anytime soon for the heavyweight title, Adam Cole needs a little bit of momentum. And yeah, there'll be a lot of fuckery this weekend. Sabu is going to put somebody through a table. Roderick Strong will get involved. I think Britt Baker absolutely gets involved. We'll see if Saraya gets involved. Maybe Saraya doesn't. You know, maybe Saraya will just be at ringside for Tony Storm. But I almost feel like somebody's going to have to try to negate Britt Baker. And yeah, she's definitely going to get some offense in on Chris Jericho. But Adam Cole, in my honest opinion, remember, he came back and did not do a great rating was 9 months it took for him to get back to the ring. And there was doubts that he would ever even return to the ring. Finally gets back, has a main event match against Daniel Garcia, and does the lowest rating in the entire night. You know, that's definitely not only disappointing, but I can only imagine how Adam Cole felt when he looked at that number and it was like, wow. You know, I think he probably would have been extremely disappointed, maybe even hurt. Like, wow, I honestly thought more people would be interested in seeing my return match. So he is, without a doubt, one of the top baby faces. He needs to win. However they proceed with Adam Cole going forward after this, he's got to get the win over here. Sabu obviously put somebody through a table. Britt Baker gets a little bit of revenge on Chris Jericho. Having that moment of Adam Cole and Britt Baker, the hands up in the air in victory, even if it's taped for a future All Access episode, which I wouldn't be surprised if it is, Adam Cole's going to get the win here. And that leaves the main event. And I'm sorry if I don't spend much time on the main event, but I think it's so predictable. In my opinion, ain't no way MJF is losing this championship anytime soon. Sammy Guevara, future world champion? Maybe. Jungle Boy Jack Perry, future world champion? I don't know. Darby Allin, I have kind of like the strongest argument for him being a future world champion. I think right now the victory will be stolen by MJF. Will it be, you know, the same way that we predicted Austin Theory stealing the victory at Backlash? Nah, I don't think it'll be that clear cut. But I could see Darby Allin hitting a coffin drop on Jack Perry or Guevara. I could see him nailing a coffin drop. Maybe Guevara takes out Jack Perry outside the ring with a crazy fucking move through a table or something when they're both incapacitated. Darby Allin hits a coffin drop on... Well, actually, no, they couldn't do that. Because if MJF's going to steal the victory, only one person could be laid out outside the ring. So maybe Sammy Guevara does an insane move and somebody gets out of Dodge. Maybe that. I could see Sammy Guevara doing a crazy move. Maybe Jungle Boy moves out of the way or Darby Allin moves out of the way. Sammy Guevara, like, pretty much eliminates himself. And then maybe Darby Allin hits a coffin drop and he's about to pin Jack Perry to win a championship. And MJF runs in, throws him out of the ring, and pins Jack Perry. The only thing that I don't like about that is Darby Allin tonight teased that he might even beat MJF with a headlock takeover. How would that look if Darby Allin goes to pin Jack Perry at the very end and not MJF? You know, you got to think about these little things. So that's why I'm not certain that MJF is just going to flat out just steal the victory from somebody. But MJF has got to get the win here. I mean, I know some people are going to say when I say I'm about to say, you know, Sammy Guevara, Jack Perry, and Darby Allin look like they should be fighting for like a United States championship or a TNT title. Like, they don't look like heavyweights. And I know, you know, AEW is open to all shapes, all sizes. It's just Jack Perry right now doesn't look like he would be a world champion. Can you imagine him cutting promos as the world champion? It ain't happening. Sammy Guevara, you know, is getting more respect now than I think he ever has, ever since Marion Timello. Believe it or not, I know that sounds ridiculous, but Guevara is fucking hated for that relationship, which I think is unfair to him because they love each other, you know. But Guevara in the ring, slowly, 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 I think fans are starting to be like, hey, you know what? You know, he definitely deserves respect from the fans. That's going to take a long time for him to totally win everybody over. But in the end, Darby Allin, you know, maybe it's not his time yet. I don't think it's his time yet. I think Jack Perry will be the one to get pinned, and MJF will be the one doing the pinning. So that is your Double or Nothing predictions. Moving on to NXT. By now, some of you probably did a Google image search for Alexa Bliss and Mandy Rose's feet. Some of you out there are probably still like, DT, how do you even think of stuff like this? You know, may I remind you once again, yours truly was the only person online that predicted Ava Rain for a couple of weeks leading into the reveal of the newest member to Schism. There were people up to the day that were saying it was a guy. But me, I examined the eyes, I examined the body frame, I examined, you know, the shape. And to me, you know, thought it was Ava Raine all along. I look at the woman who was attacking, you know, the random NXT stars, and for probably 6 weeks now, I've been saying Mandy Rose, Mandy Rose, Mandy Rose. The only issue with that is Mandy Rose has done so much in NXT. You know, it's like if she returns, I mean, you could see a couple of feuds, but, you know, unless her stay is only going to be for a few months and then graduate to the main roster, like, I don't know if Mandy Rose should be restricted still to NXT. But yesterday, when we closed out the May 23rd, 2023 edition of NXT, we had the mystery woman attack Roxanne Perez. And the only reason why I was looking at the feet was because whoever this person was, they were wearing gloves to not show anything with the hands. They were wearing a mask, obviously, and a hood. But they chose to either not wear socks or wear low-cut socks. So we saw the ankles, and we realize it's a white woman. But as I'm looking at the ankles yesterday, I'm like, oh, these feet look very small. And I remember somebody emailing us on Patreon who had a big fetish with feet and specifically talked about Mandy Rose's feet a while back. And she's got big feet, not, you know, clown feet, but she had big feet. And I was, you know, kept thinking to myself, wow, you know, the size of this person attacking these women fits either Mandy Rose or Alexa Bliss. And I started thinking, you know, this could possibly be Alexa Bliss. You know, Alexa Bliss was supposed to do PR work for Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia. WWE canceled that because she hasn't been reintroduced to the main roster, you know, since she's been out. And she's ready to return. So could they have been keeping her off TV now, even after the draft, because maybe she has a little bit of a stint in NXT? That's not a bad idea, guys. I mean, Kev and I just did the Night of Champions predictions, and we got into a hell of a lot more than just the predictions. We talked about a lot of what's going to happen in the future. One of the things we pointed out is the lack of really good opponents for Rhea Ripley on the Raw roster. You know, outside of Becky Lynch and Raquel Rodriguez, you know, there's really nobody. And I still think Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler are tag team championship bound. Alexa Bliss and Rhea Ripley having a feud, I can't buy into that. Alexa Bliss having a feud with Bianca Belair on SmackDown, we had a feud with them not too long ago. So maybe Alexa Bliss being in NXT kind of puts her on the same level with a lot of the other stars out there. And you know what? She'll get a lot more airtime. So, again, I'm not saying it's going to be Alexa Bliss. I do think we're going to get the reveal on Sunday, at minimum by next Tuesday's NXT, the 30th of May. I'm still sticking with my original pick, Mandy Rose, that I've been saying for a very long time now. But if it's not Mandy Rose, I'm going to go with Alexa Bliss. Nothing against Blair Davenport and some of the other names that people are throwing around online. I just think for the U.S. audience, the audience in Florida, the WWE universe, you know, somebody like Blair Davenport is not a household name that the fans would, like, go, holy shit. Like, an Alexa Bliss reveal or Mandy Rose reveal would be one of those holy shit moments. Somebody who is not, you know, a household name, I don't think should be part of the reveal, but we will know sooner or later. So last night on NXT, we had Lyra Valkyria and Tiffany Stratton both win to advance to the finals to determine the new NXT Women's Champion. Very, very interesting that Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade did not advance. Cora Jade especially, because Kevin and I just had the conversation on the Night of Champions predictions that Cora Jade, you know, not too long ago was heavily rumored to go to the main roster. The fact that she is not going to get the opportunity to become women's champion right now, the era of Jade, is kind of surprising. You know, a lot of people now think Tiffany Stratton is getting this title, and Listen, we all commend Tiffany Stratton on this channel. And to me, she should have been considered, you know, like Rookie of the Year or, you know, Most Improved, you know, from the year before. But she herself even said that she's got a lot more to develop, doesn't think she should go to the main roster yet. And, yeah, she's not going to the main roster right now. But do you think she's ready to be the focal point of the entire NXT Women's Division? I'm not so sure about that. I think Cora Jade would have been the ideal choice. She was my pick to win it. Tiffany Stratton, I have no complaints if she wins it as well. But I'm very, very curious now what happens to Cora Jade. And if you, some people think Cora Jade is the one attacking women in NXT. Who knows? That would be an interesting twist. We will know sooner than later. Dabba Kato of Axiom, and the news coming out of this was Reggie, the former Scripps, helping Axiom, turning babyface once again. Maybe it's all a setup, everyone. Maybe Reggie is trying to gain Axiom's trust just to stab him in the back later on. Listen, this show was the one not too long ago that told you that WWE was, pun intended, flipping the script with Scripps and Reggie. It was a bomb. It was a failure. It was almost, you know, laughable what they thought would have been successful. Nothing that I have been told leads to this being a Vince McMahon idea. But now Reggie is without the mask. I'm not sold on his blue outfit yesterday either. It almost looked like that his gear might have been lost in the airport. He had to go to the store and buy something last minute. I don't know, something about his gear yesterday that I wasn't feeling. But, he's now as a babyface. Crowd got into it. No complaints from yesterday. Nathan Frazier over Noam Dar. Tyler Bate over Eddie Thorpe. Hank Walker over Tank Ledger. And I'm seeing more and more and more people comparing Hank Walker and Tank Ledger to Otis and Tucker when they were Heavy Machinery. Kind of like a reincarnation of Heavy Machinery. Maybe, you know, just minus a hell of a lot of charisma. Otis has got that charisma. Luca Crucifino over Von Wagner by disqualification. Von Wagner just getting some work in. That's why they had him show up in NXT. And that pretty much was the episode yesterday. You know, as I said earlier, the stuff with Tony D'Angelo was funny. It was just bad acting, but on top of it, if you know anything about legalities, you know, the arresting was just goofy. I mean, look, it's going to reveal a rat, somebody setting up Tony D'Angelo. Some people think, hey, we might get the return of Two Dimes. I don't know. I mean, anything is possible, but we'll see where it goes. Maybe we'll get some new members. Ilya Dragunov and Dijak signing a hold harmless agreement. And yes, thank you, everyone, who took note that, you know, I talked about last week about the hold harmless agreements that should be done in AEW and NXT with some of these storylines. Hold harmless is not usually, you know, the term that is used in pro wrestling. It's usually like unsanctioned, or hold harmless is more in the contracting world. But I liked when they did that yesterday. No issues. And I'm really curious to see what happens next week between Gigi Dolan and JC Jane in a weaponized steel cage match. I still feel that this is a feud that nobody asked for, and I think the majority of fans out there prefer them to be a tag team and not be feuding with each other. It just felt forced from the beginning. I'm not saying that it was bad. I mean, these two women have worked hard to try to make this work, but there's just something really lacking about it. I don't know if the cage match next week is going to change anything. And then what do you do afterwards? Really, what do you do afterwards? But before next week, we got to get through NXT Battleground, which takes place this Saturday, Sunday, May 28th, 2023, at the Zonga's Center in Lowell, Massachusetts. The first NXT Battleground in 6 years. Last one they had was in July 2017. Matches, not too many. I think some of the outcomes are quite predictable. Some of them, hey, You know, it's anybody's game. Gallus defending the NXT tag titles versus the Creed brothers. You know, Gallus is just burning through opponents. And the Creed brothers, you know, I think a lot of people felt that their last, you know, main run in NXT might have been a little bit early. As much as I have warmed up to Gallus, I'm just trying to look a couple of steps ahead, and I say to myself, who's Gallus going to really feud with next? Please do not give me Hank. Yeah, and Tank. I would like to see the Creed brothers get these tag team titles. Gallus, I think, should go to the main roster. You know, nothing against the Viking Raiders, but I think Gallus could do better with the Viking Raiders been doing. And no, Gallus doesn't have, you know, the face paint and the Valhalla and, you know, doing all the vignettes amongst fire and, you know, but they are an intimidating tag team and they're good trios as well. I think Gallus actually could do pretty damn good on the main roster. I get, you know, putting my, you know, fanhood aside, I think Gallus will retain. But I am rooting for the Creed brothers to get those tag titles. I think there's much more you can do with the Creed brothers as tag team champions in Gallus. Dijak versus Ilya Dragunov in a last man standing match. You know, Dijak is so good. I mean, and he has lost, in my opinion, too many matches. And I am a huge fan of Ilya. I have said all along, you know, nothing against Giovanni Vinci, but replace Giovanni Vinci with Ilya Dragunov in Imperium. I would love to see Ilya and Ludwig Kaiser as a tag team. We've talked about it on these shows ad nauseum in the past. As much as I like Ilya, I think Dijak's got to get a win here. He's too good, too big, and, you know, to lose once again. This match is going to be banging. You know, I'm still, you know, have his match with Wesley in the back of my mind. Dijak deserves a little bit better, in my opinion. And even if Ilya loses, he's not going to lose any momentum, guys. So I'm going with Dijak. Wesley defending the North American Championship against Tyler Bate and Joe Gacy in a triple threat match. You know, the triple threat matches scare me because of the WWE mentality where somebody could steal a win. You know, we recently called, you know, how Theory was going to retain his championship at Backlash. And, you know, we've called a lot of outcomes with triple threats. Wesley has had an awesome run as NXT North American champion. I don't know how many opponents he could still have fresh feuds with that actually could get, you know, some decent attention. I tell you, I would be fine with Wesley and Bron Breakker having a little bit of a feud. If you really, you know, want to split hairs here. Joe Gacy, I'm a huge fan of. I just can't see him getting the win, even if he were to steal it from maybe like Tyler Bate or Wesley. You know, just throw the other person out of the ring and steal the pin. I think Wesley's going to retain. I think he's going to retain. His run has been so good, and there's no word, no rumor of him going to the main roster anytime soon. So Wesley is on a good roll right now. I think people forget before he won the North American Championship, there was a lot of disappointment amongst wrestling fans about Wesley and how he was used in NXT. Ever since, you know, he had to go singles because of his tag team partner getting released, he's on such good momentum right now, I would not change that. Noam Dar versus Dragon Lee, British Rounds rules match for the NXT Heritage Cup. Noam Dar is a personality, and, you know, I still think of Alicia Fox, when I see Noam Dar. Dragon Lee is so good as well, but he's just started his NXT career, and Noam Dar with the Heritage Cup, you know, having some props with him, I think helps him connecting with the audience. In my opinion, you don't change that right away. Plus, you know, what's going to happen to the Heritage Cup if Dragon Lee gets it? And any feuds with someone else over it? Like, why? I don't see the Heritage Cup being like a permanent mainstay in NXT. So that's why I don't think it should change hands with anybody right now. So I'm going with Nondar to win and keep his cup. That leaves us with two matches, everybody. Well, you know what? Let's do Carmelo Hayes versus Bron Breakker first, because I think this outcome is beyond predictable. I personally don't think in any way, shape, or form you're taking the title off of Carmelo Hayes anytime soon. It almost is similar to Seth Rollins, who I believe is about to become World Heavyweight Champion. You know, if Seth Rollins were to become World Heavyweight Champion, just to lose it in a very short amount of time, people will call it an epic failure. Carmelo Hayes, if you were to lose the championship right now, he's just started as becoming the guy, becoming him, truly, officially him in NXT. And him having some high-profile, substantial wins, not just against Bron Breakker, is not enough. He's got to have a nice little run with this title. So absolutely, Carmelo Hayes retains over Bron Breakker. My concern is what a lot of people do not want to see, and that is Trick Williams to turn on Carmelo Hayes. When, especially when NXT, I always try to think one step ahead. Like, okay, after this person gets through this person, what's next? And when I look at Carmelo Hayes and I look at that NXT roster, there's not many guys that you could buy into main eventing for the NXT Heavyweight Championship against Carmelo Hayes right now without it being a very predictable outcome. And I feel like NXT, sooner or later, is not going to be able to resist having Trick Williams turn on Carmelo Hayes because he wants that championship. I don't want to see it happen. Could they have a friendly match? Sure. I don't know how that would be accepted as well. Trick Williams is so, you know, he is so on track of becoming a future WWE superstar. Everybody talks about Carmelo Hayes, but if you've been paying attention to my shows for about 9-10 months now, they said do not, you know, take your eyes off of Trick Williams. He's got it. And sooner or later, he is going to break out. And I don't think people understand how big of a star, what his potential could be on the main roster. I absolutely think Trick Williams is a future WWE superstar. I just don't want to see him turn on Carmelo Hayes right now. And I'm a little bit concerned, who does Carmelo Hayes feud with next? You know, there's a couple of wrestlers. Don't get me wrong. There's a couple of wrestlers in NXT I think would have great matches. Would they have great feuds? Would it be a great storyline? So that is the question. So that leaves us for the vacant NXT Women's Championship, Tiffany Stratton versus Lyra Valkyria. I like both women. I think they're both extremely talented. Lyra is fucking great. And, you know, some fans have a hardcore appreciation for in-ring ability. But as far as her being the focal point, the leader of the NXT women's division right now, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. It kind of gives me similar vibes of Michael Satomura. By the way, where is she? Vibes of some other women who are extremely good at what they do, but there's something missing. There's some connection missing between her and the main audience that tunes in, whether you're live or watching from home. She's not getting that buzz amongst the WWE universe that does talk about NXT. You know, and look at ratings too. You know, their ratings have been steady in the mid to upper fives, mid to upper fives, mid to upper fives. And you look at that roster, and it's got a lot of great names on it. You know, we're not talking about all rookies. You know, there are some great names still part of NXT. And it is kind of mind-blowing sometimes to see them get 500,000 viewers. And you see, you know, from the Bron Breakers to the Carmelo Hayes to Ilya's, Tyler Bate, and, you know, the Creed brothers. And there's so many others. And we didn't even talk about the women's division. So I personally think Tiffany Stratton, although some people may feel might be a little bit too soon, I think they're going to go with it and have Tiffany Stratton become your next NXT Women's Champion. And I wonder, will she end up becoming more of a babyface? It kind of feels like they're going in that direction. I mean, she has improved significantly. And I will say this, if she wins the championship, she has earned it. She has absolutely earned it. I just don't know. And I think it will help ratings. Just like I've said all along, I think Mandy Rose leaving NXT definitely hurt those ratings. And believe me, when I was doing those NXT watch parties, I brought this up before, I can't tell you how dominant Toxic Attraction's, the conversation about Toxic Attraction was amongst those who were tuning into the watch parties, you know, anticipating the watch parties. Toxic Attraction was the attraction for the majority of fans. They got the most buzz, the most talk, and they definitely had some pretty good ratings when they were on. The only problem is, again, we have that feud right now with Gigi Dolan and JC Jane. How do you possibly put those two women back together? Obviously, Mandy Rose is the only one. You know, that's the only way it makes sense. If Mandy Rose is, you know, look at what have we become since we've been apart, and maybe she tries to get them together. But look, if that's even a possibility, we got to get Mandy Rose back in the company. Will that happen? You know, hey, it's going to be interesting. I've said it repeatedly since, you know, we heard about the deal with Endeavor and WWE with that merger and acquisition, that, you know, it's going to be owned predominantly by a company that does UFC and adult entertainment. I don't mean porn. I mean entertainment that's targeted for an adult audience, not necessarily kid-friendly. And I think WWE's content is going to become more adult, directed towards adults, you know, not just kids and family. I mean, look, WWE's getting record revenue. You're not going to suddenly go TV-14 with everything. You're not going to rock the boat that has got you where you're at right now. But that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, here and there, you know, tweak it a little bit. You see some of the outfits that some of the women wear now, and it's a little more revealing than in recent years. I think people have always pointed that out. So Mandy Rose returning, you know, she's not going to go topless, or she's not going to keep doing her, you know, fan time page or whatever it's called if she's back. My point is that WWE let her go because of what she was doing that went against, you know, their policy. But now with the Endeavor merger, they might be a little bit more forgiving. That's why I really think, you know, ultimately Mandy Rose is back in that company. If it's not now, it'll happen later on once this merger is pretty much more, you know, deep into the process. We'll see what happens, but that is your NXT Battleground predictions. Also this weekend, Impact Wrestling is Under Siege. That will be taking place on Friday, May 26th at the Western Fair District Agriplex in London, Ontario, Canada. It'll be available on Impact Plus and YouTube. And by the way, I should have said earlier to NXT, if you're not aware of it already, NXT is available on Peacock. So I'm going to run through the card quickly, just to give you some quick predictions, because a few of you have asked, and I don't mind obliging. I believe a dark match is going to be Joe Hendry defending the Impact Digital Media Championship against Dirty Dango. As much as we love Fandango, and he can still do it, I don't think Dirty Dango has a chance to become your digital media champion, especially if it's a dark match. So I'm going with Joe Hendry to retain. We have ABC, which is Ace Austin and Chris Bay, defending the Impact Tag Team Championships against Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster. A lot of people are heavily into Ace Austin and Chris Bay. Absolutely love them as a tag team. My gut feeling is that they will retain the championships, but I think with Impact Wrestling, they're starting to put a little bit more I don't want to say credence, because both of these guys are super talented and everybody acknowledges their what they can do. But Mark Andrews and Flesh Morgan Webster are starting to click with more and more fans. I see people more and more talking about these guys. I don't think they get it yet. Wouldn't surprise me down the line if they do become tag team champions. For now, I don't believe so. I'm going to go with Ace Austin and Chris Bey to retain, but it would not surprise me if Mark Andrews and Flesh Morgan Webster won those titles. Nick Aldis versus Kenny King. You do not bring back Nick Aldis and have him lose a high-profile match like this. And, yes, there's no titles involved, but Nick Aldis is in Impact Wrestling, and he is not there to just put over the guys of tomorrow. A guy still can lead a company. It's pretty interesting that AEW and WWE did not pick this guy up. Pretty surprising. Doesn't mean it still won't happen in the future, but for now, Nick Aldis is an Impact Wrestling star, and I'm going with him to defeat Kenny King, someone else who's an Impact Wrestling star, and we've talked about her every single week. Little surprising that she has not, you know, affected the ratings in any way, shape, or form. In some cases, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, her appearances, not saying quarter hours, but, you know, Impact is a pretty good brand right now. I've watched more Impact in the last 6 months than I've probably watched in the last 6 years. And I could honestly say that if you're a fan that was tuning in just to see Trinity, there's enough good shit on there that there's really not much reason why you wouldn't watch the rest of the show or watch the entire show or, you know, good portion thereof. And we haven't seen no signs of that, no evidence of that. It's not like Trinity's quarter hour gets a crazy spike or the hour that she's a part of gets a nice jump and it's, and the other hour is dismal. Their ratings have been, I would say, would I call it colossal failure? No, but extremely disappointing since she's debuted. She's taken on Giselle Shaw. Trinity absolutely will not be losing any matches anytime soon in Impact Wrestling. I'm going with Trinity to win this one. They're probably going to have to pull the trigger with Trinity versus Deonna Purrazzo sooner than later. I don't know how long Trinity is going to be in the company. My gut feeling is 6 months, but right now, you know, she's still only about a month in. So, you know, she's doing fine. She's fitting like a glove, but unfortunately she can't attract all those viewers that, you know, oh, she's back. I'm going to tune in and this and that. People haven't. They haven't. Maybe a nice feud with Deonna Purrazzo may change some people's minds. Trey Miguel will be defending the X Division Championship against Chris Sabin. Chris Sabin has had a long storied career. I know we used to poke fun when he was heavyweight champion. I'll never forget that press conference. He got no reaction whatsoever. That was actually, I felt sorry for him that day. I mean, we were laughing uncontrollably on the show covering it, but we felt bad for him. I don't feel bad for him now because he's had a storied career, but there ain't no way he is winning that match. Absolutely no chance whatsoever. Alex Shelley versus Eddie Edwards versus Frankie Kazarian versus Jonathan Gresham versus Moose versus Yuya Uemura. Six-way match to determine the new number one contender for the Impact World Championship. Now, we are having a title defense for the Impact World Championship at Under Siege. It's Steve Macklin defending against PCO. I am a big fan of PCO. I absolutely am still blown away that this guy could still do it at that level and how he has recreated him, you know, recreated his entire persona and career over the last bunch of years. But no way do you take the belt off of Steve Macklin this early and put it on PCO. So even though as a fan, I would love to see PCO get it, ain't no chance. So I bring up this match now because with the idea that Steve Macklin is retaining, now we go back to the six-way and you say to yourself, okay, who would be the next ideal opponent for Steve Macklin and the Impact World Championship? So again, you got Alex Shelley, Eddie Edwards, Frankie Kazarian, Jonathan Gresham, Moose, and Yuya Uemura. For me, it comes down to either Moose or Jonathan Gresham. Yu Uemura, I don't think many fans would care all that much about, with all due respect. Frankie Kazarian, you know, he's got a nice, you know, following. I mean, he's had arguably a Hall of Fame career. You know, not, you know what I mean. I mean, Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame, absolutely. Eddie Edwards, you know, you could go either way with. And Alex Shelley, I don't know how much of an attraction Alex Shelley would be against Steve Maclin for the heavyweight title. So for me, it really comes down to Jonathan Gresham or Moose. I want to go with Moose. I know Moose has been there. But Moose, if anybody could get Maclin a little bit more buzz and attention and maybe, you know, just add heat and intensity to a future feud, I think Moose is the one to do it. So I'm going to go with Moose to win that one. So that leaves us two more matches. Rich Swann, Sami Callihan, and a wrestler to be determined versus the Design of Angels, Khan, and Cody Deaner. Six-man tag match. I don't know what's going on with Kushida. Didn't hear anything why he couldn't be part of this. I haven't heard anything that he's gone from Impact Wrestling. So I wonder if Kushida is going to be their mystery tag partner. I'm going with Rich Swann, Sami Callihan, and whoever their tag partner is. Hey, maybe it's Santino Medalla. But I'm still going to go with Rich Swann, Sami Callihan, and to be announced. Deonna Purrazzo defending the Impact Knockouts World Championship against Jordynne Grace. And the stipulation is, if Jordynne Grace loses, she can no longer challenge for the heavyweight title as long as Deonna Purrazzo is champion. Jordynne Grace, you know, has become a main eventer. She has been really consumed with the bodybuilding, and she can go in the ring. Deonna Purrazzo, she had some great momentum in Impact. If you remember early on, we always felt that she was the one to replace Tessa Blanchard. If you remember how Impact was pushing her early on, you know, you could tell that she was their replacement. But Deonna Purrazzo is great in the ring. And I don't think anybody should look at her as, you know, Tessa Blanchard light or the replacement. You know, back then, obviously, they were looking for someone to take over where Tessa Blanchard left, you know, because she was gone with the company. Deonna Purrazzo has earned her spot in that company, and in my opinion, she retains this championship. Jordynne Grace can fight for the heavyweight title in the future. She just cannot take on Deonna Purrazzo for it. And there could always be a stipulation. There could always be a storyline later on to change that. You know, we've had storylines. We haven't seen many in recent years with WWE where somebody, you know, is fired or retires or this and that, and then, you know, they're brought back, not necessarily to retirement, but, you know, if you lose, you're fired, this, that, and then, you know, person returns or they show up on the opposite brand. Now, Impact doesn't have a second brand, but they could always change that storyline down the line if they absolutely need to do so. I think Deonna Purrazzo retains, and I think Deonna Purrazzo will be feuding with Trinity sooner than later. I think it's absolutely necessary under the circumstances. So Deonna Purrazzo will retain. Jordynne Grace, as long as Deonna is champion, she will not be able to fight for the title. And you know what? I wouldn't count out Jordynne Grace and Trinity having a feud. I think that would be pretty interesting as well. But Deonna Purrazzo is going to retain. So that is your Under Siege lineup. And with that said, I think we are pretty much done. So we covered AEW, Double or Nothing predictions. We covered the announcement tonight with Tony Khan, and I'm absolutely ecstatic that, you know, everybody could finally fucking move on from this. And it is pretty much how I've worded it for the last 7 days, nonsensical bullshit that the media and the podcasting world has created with CM Punk, with AEW, with Collision. Those journalists and podcasters gave a huge middle finger to that roster. AEW Collision is not just about CM Punk. It's about an entire roster. CM Punk might be the draw to get some people in the building. CM Punk might be the draw to get some people to tune in. But CM Punk on a two-hour show is only going to probably be about 10, 15 minutes of the entire show. And what happens once his segment, his match, his promo comes and goes? What if the guy gets injured again? Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, it's so disrespectful that people made it that Collision is about Punk or it's dead. You don't do that about any one person, especially with the idea that, God forbid, somebody gets injured. You imagine if a promotion would have put their entire, you know, like, they put all their cards on the table with the idea that Mercedes Moné is the sell. She is the focus. She is the number one person on the show. And then she breaks her ankle. And then what do you do? Now, the good positive with AEW is, God forbid, if CM Punk is the focal point and gets injured or something goes seriously wrong, you have an entire roster to have somebody take the place of Bryan Danielson, you know, anybody. So it's not like, okay, we're fucked. And that's why I thought, we called it a week ago. And I'm not saying it to be bragging, but it just shows you how pathetic and how desperate so many people out there just for hits, views, likes, downloads, you know, subscriptions. You know, we saw this 7 days ago, what was going to happen. And then at the very end, when they realized we fucked up and everything was already ironed out, then they play it out on TV. Oh, both sides settled their issues. Because they know Tony Khan is not going to go online and start saying fuck you to all of these journalists and reporters. CM Punk is not going to do that again. He's going to have to bite his lip for the betterment of AEW and to be more in line with the company. So these people just run roughshod. And, you know, the sad thing about it is, and this is why I have no, you know, I have no guilt in calling these people out. At the end of the day, all the fans, all the wrestling fans that still tune into these shows, who still subscribe to people's newsletters, who still, you know, check out their podcast, who still read their websites, you know, there's an old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And it is nauseating and disgusting to see how much they've gotten wrong. And yet people still go flock to them, still flock to them. And as long as people still flock to all of these sources, they will continue to put out whatever they can to try to just grab the attention, be the headline, be part of the story. We've talked about that for almost a year and a half. Why report the news? Why report the story when you could be part of the story? But unfortunately, you know, we're a very, very small noise out there, and the majority of people out there are more into the gossip. You know, it's like that animated picture file where you see Big E with the popcorn, and he's got that look on his face like, holy shit, holy shit. And that's what fans are into. They're into the water cooler gossip stuff, and, you know, we're kind of like, you know, yelling in the forest. You know, if there's nobody in the forest, does it make a noise? I don't know. I remember exactly how it goes, but you know what? I do know that there's enough of you out there who want the straight up facts, you know, without the clickbait, without the bullshit. And I take pride since 1997. I take absolute pride to be here and to give you straight up discussion with lots of opinion. I offer lots of opinion and I do get opinions wrong. You know, I absolutely do get it wrong, no question. But I just find it a little too disrespectful for me with a straight face to, for the last 7 days, to give you this narrative that, oh, you know, the CM Punk was sent legal papers and threatened lawsuit if he didn't do this and this and that. And then you realize, no, that's part of the contract process. When you know, Collision wasn't in his contract, you know, a couple of years ago. Negotiating new deals and dates and other stuff, of course things need to be amended and signed. It's just like the Vince McMahon, as I said earlier, and we'll go. It's like the Vince McMahon clause that's in the 500-plus SEC filing by Endeavor. where they had the clause in the deal that Vince will remain executive chairman until he dies or he resigns or he becomes incapacitated. And people ran with it like a controversial story. Like, look at this motherfucker. Look at the power pull that he's trying to do. And can you believe that they actually fell for this? Not realizing that in the corporate world, that is a standard clause. It's a standard clause. So whatever was sent to CM Punk is standard procedure. There's no threatening, hovering over his head, do this or else. But you know the deal. So I am very, very proud of our coverage of CM Punk, of AEW, from the media scrum to now. I take pride, you know, outside investigations, investigating that stuff. You know by now what the truth is. So I absolutely appreciate all of your support, and I will continue doing what I'm doing. And, you know, little by little, I think people are starting to get a little bit sick and tired of, you know, being told a lot of falsities. You know, nothing wrong with someone getting a story wrong. But when people know going into they're reporting that the story is wrong and they report it anyway and then try to cover it up afterwards or they move on to a different topic. You know, that billion-dollar TV deal, you know, 5 years, $240 million, going to be introduced at the upfronts and all this stuff. I mean, whatever happened with that? You'll get the announcement soon, everybody. But whatever happened with that, they shifted immediately to CM Punk, get all the attention away from it. So, all right, I'm going to get out of here. I hope you enjoyed this episode. So I will return with your next Wednesday night Dynamite episode 1 week from today, May 31st, 2023. Wow, make sure you get a good night's sleep Thursday because Friday night you got Under Siege. Saturday you got Night of Champions. Sunday you got Double or Nothing and NXT Battleground. And then Monday you got Raw. Tuesday you got NXT. Wednesday you got Dynamite. Thursday you got Impact. So, yeah, it just the hit. And SmackDown, there's a lot of wrestling coming up. So we will talk as much as we can about it. And if you haven't done so already and you're looking forward to it, pre-order that AEW game. It's about a little less than a month from now. Well, a little more than a month, you know, to be exact. What, 35 days from now, that will be in stores, majority of the world. And, yeah, that'll be a fun deal. So few of you have asked me if I'm going to pick up the Fight Forever video game. I, as of right now, not, because I don't have any of the latest consoles. And I'm kind of glad that I don't. Because I do remember my days early on 20 years ago playing Grand Theft Auto. I remember even before that with ColecoVision and Atari and Nintendo and Sega Saturn and Sega CD and Sega Genesis. And I'm one of those guys that if I start playing something, I will play for hours and hours and hours and hours. You know, I mean, we even fantasy sports. If I start doing fantasy baseball and fantasy football again, I will spend hours a day meticulously trying to make sure every little aspect of my team is at the best. I got to win and I got to complete things. So I just look at my schedule, my personal life, my married life, my relationship with my parents who are, you know, getting up there in age and not in good health, you know, and then doing the shows and having a balance, you know, with my personal life stuff. You imagine if I start playing 2, 3, 4 hours a day of WWE 2K23 or AEW Fight Forever, I'll get 2 hours of sleep a night. I'll have a heart attack or a stroke before the end of the year. So I will play it, but, you know, I'll probably just, you know, play it off of somebody else's console or play it online or something like that. But it looks good, man. You know, let me tell you something, and we've talked about it before. You know, I go back to when ECW debuted their game. And I was one of the hardcore fans of ECW. Fact that I got to even do a little work for them the final year they were in existence is still something that I will appreciate for the rest of my life. That's why it'll always be a tribute to ECW behind me when you see my video stuff. I anticipated that video game. When that fucking video game came out, and I drove an hour and a half to Long Island to pick it up and brought it home and threw it in. My conscious mind was, you know, like saying this, oh, this is fucking awesome. But subconsciously, I was like, what the fuck is this garbage? It's one of the worst wrestling video games in history. But I tried to convince myself that it was the greatest thing ever because ECW was my, that was my promotion. And to have that game come out the way it did, oh, was fucking awful. AEW coming out with this video game, this looks impressive. It's not going to be perfect. I'm sure people out there are going to find reasons to criticize it and make fun of it. And, you know, there's going to be some quirks and not everything's going to be crisp. But overall, how could you really complain about this game? It looks pretty damn cool. So, all right, everybody, be well. Much love. I am out of here. Talk to you all again soon.
Yes. That was cool.
Yeah.